Welcome to What in God's Name. He is Chris Owen.
And she is Shane Appel.
And we are here looking at what in God's name is going on in our world through theological and philosophical lenses. And Chris, it just keeps getting weirder and weirder.
Current events and culture, yes, from
current
a theological and philosophical point of view, what in God's name is going on out there? Just to reset a few things, Shana, our audience continues to grow, and I like to do a little reset just to help introduce our show to the new listeners.
So exciting that we're growing. It's so exciting. Thank you, listeners out there.
Culture. What we mean by culture, and I mean habits of mind and patterns of behavior that we often are not aware of, are not conscious of, but which really shape how society works. So, for example, thinking about politics as a sport. That's part of our culture that we don't often think about. This whole narrative of red versus blue, and here's some deep analysis, Shana. I think that's a stupid way to think about.
Just stupid. Wow, so Chris, are we going to be blessed with these deep thoughts for the rest of our time together today?
Indeed.
So just stupid.
I love how you do that with a little
stupid
lisp.
Yeah,
you're good at that.
It's getting a little punchy here. Day what in isolation? Me, my dog, and my cat.
So that's an example. I just offer that as an example of what I mean by culture, kind of a habit of mind, way of thinking.
Pattern of behavior. I like that.
As I say, we are growing, and it seems like we must be growing by word of mouth. And so, first of all, we thank all of you who have passed along What in God's Name to others. And Shana, our listenership is worldwide. We have a dedicated following in South Korea. And we have a number of listeners in India. Who knew?
What? Oh, my.
So if you're listening.
What in God's name? Far out.
If you're listening in India, send us a line. We want to know what's going on.
Or if you're listening to us in Korea, send us a line. We want to know what's going on with you.
Really thoughtful stuff from South Korea about our show.
Nice.
Shana, I want our show to continue to grow, What in God's Name to continue to grow, because I believe in the idea of what we're doing. Our core values of be curious, go deep, and shine light. These are important things. So I desire for our show to continue to grow. There is so much crap that passes for the name of religion that is out there in podcasts and other forms. There's so much schlock. And we, you know, what's the opposite of crap?
Sunshine.
Nourishing food. No, I mean
the literal opposite.
Really opposite.
Goes in as nourishing food, and yes, okay.
Comes out as, yeah. So we are nourishing food. I mean, sometimes we've used that metaphor.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
25 minutes of Brussels sprouts.
Yes,
although
right.
You're a Brussels sprouts fan.
I'm a marshmallow girl.
So we continue to need your help. Certainly spreading our show, but also to help us think and feel about our world and our culture. We need help to think and feel. Shana and I do. We need your help because we're trying to push at the edges of things. And anybody who's thinking and feeling at the edge needs help. It needs to be done in community and with collaboration. So that's a long way of inviting you all to be in touch with us. Our email, whatingods@ribeyemedia.com. You can just check us out on our website, whatingods.com.
WHATINGODS.
How do you like that, Shana?
That was good, Chris. I'm just sitting here in awe. So, Chris, we're talking about Easter today, huh?
Yeah, Shana. So we have this religion in America that gets observed every now and then during the year, but which doesn't really form us as a culture. And that religion is Christianity. If Christian practice really formed and informed our culture, we would do a better job, for example, of seeing the whole.
By its nature, it's a reach.
Yeah, that's right, Shana. Christianity is a reach. Any of these religions that ask us to form ourselves by some kind of transcendent value is demanding.
Maybe in some ways we're all playing at it, in one way, shape, form, or another, trying to get better at it. It's a reach. It's it's aspirational. But yes, we have this religion here in America called Christianity, and And Christians this past weekend celebrated Easter Sunday.
So, Shana, my reflections on this season of Easter in the Christian calendar, it's an odd time to be in Easter because of the pandemic.
It's so odd, Chris, I didn't even go there. Honestly, the title of my sermon last weekend was Pausing on Passover.
Yeah.
And I preached from the Exodus story because I couldn't wrap my head around new life and resurrection on a day the experts were promising us was going to be the single highest death toll that this country has ever seen. I just couldn't wrap my brain around it.
I have a little theological riff on that picture. Once I say what the picture is, many of you will have seen it. And if you haven't, I do recommend having a look at it. It's the picture. It's a drone shot. So imagine looking down. And what you're looking down on is a trench that's got to be at least 15 feet wide. And in the trench are coffins, end to end, simple wooden coffins. And then one row and the next row and the next row on and on, end to end coffins, row after row after row. This is the picture of New York City's Heart Island, where they bury those bodies that are unclaimed. And so this image, we have this image of this trench, this mass grave, and contrast that with the Christian Easter proclamation that the tomb is empty. And you get that tension because in this season, we are proclaiming an empty tomb, and yet here is this iconic picture of a grave that is not empty by any means. In fact, it's full. So I was trying to figure out what to do with that tension, and I recalled the podcast we did recently about perseverance and endurance and how in Hebrews, Paul asks us, urges us to be in touch with the cloud of witnesses as a source of strength. So that idea that if we can somehow connect ourselves to those who have come before, that we draw strength from that, and that then can help us endure. So I was thinking, well, in the past, there must have been Easters that were difficult. And so I Googled Easter and the Civil War, thinking, okay, the Civil War was a dark time.
Sure, but they had
Easter then.
Uh-huh.
So what appeared was, and I had known this but had forgotten it, Lincoln was shot on Good Friday.
Oh my God, he was. You're right. I had totally forgotten that.
So Lincoln was shot on Good Friday. He died on Saturday. And then when people went to church on Sunday, Easter Sunday, this day celebrating life and resurrection, they were in mourning for the death of their president.
I wonder how they got the word out that fast.
Yeah, you know, word could travel then fast enough. So there's this tension between the grief that they would have been feeling, that they did feel, and the proclamation, again, of the empty tomb of Easter and of new life. And there was a sermon preached in Bangor, Maine, by Charles Everett, preached on April 16th, Easter Sunday, 1865. And he said in his sermon, "Little did we think that we should gather on this Easter morning and find not life, but death. Not the risen glory, but the tomb, with no angel's hand to roll away for us the stone." So we are not the first to live Easter in this tension, in this incongruity, in this mismatch of what's going on in the world and what we proclaim on this day. And what I would say to our listeners is, I cannot tell you how to reconcile this incongruity, this mismatch, and furthermore, I don't think it is reconcilable. It's only livable. And what I mean by that is all we can do is just go day by day, recognizing that there's a reality of death and there's a reality of hope. I mean, how do you live that? You just do. I don't know how to do that except to do it.
If there is tension, then there can only be tension because there is both hope and grief, right? Who was it who said, All praise and no lament is thin at best. All lament and no praise is unendurable, you know. So we find ourselves in the middle where, in fact, we always are. However, the strength that, you know, the rubber band isn't normally stretched as tight as it is right now.
I think that's so right. And part of it, you know, this picture of Heart Island with this mass grave, it's full, but it brings to the foreground what I think is always true, what you've just alluded to, which we can often avert our eyes from.
Yeah.
We can't avert our eyes from it today,
right,
or in this time, but we can usually avert our eyes from the presence of death.
We can avert our eyes from the inequalities in our healthcare system. We can avert our on any other day.
Yeah, right.
Until the number of persons of color dying from this disease, you know, as opposed to the number of, you know, white folks who are dying from this disease is you know, suddenly you can't look away anymore. It's just, you know, it's smack dab right there in your face.
Yeah, the persistence of suffering.
The extent to which corporations will be cared for and the rest of us will be left to feed off the scraps might be something some of us can look away from on most days, but not today. So, wow, we're just right back to Passover. Why is this day different from all other days? Yeah, it's attention. It's attention for sure.
Yeah, and so sometimes we can say the tomb is empty, and it's easy to say because it's a warm, sunny Easter day, or there's lots of chocolate, and or the Easter bunny's really fuzzy that day. You know, there are times
when... Not like this
when,
year where the Easter bunny's got cooties. Oh, my God!
Right.
When the Easter bunny doesn't have cooties, it's a good day, and we can say, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. He is risen. The tomb is empty. Alleluia. Just a little hard to say it this year.
It's harder to say it because of what is revealed to us, because of what we can't avert our eyes from.
And yet, you know, I was listening to NHPR, and actually, you know, I called in a question because I was mindful of the fact that in both Easter and Passover, the, you know, the Jesus who is resurrected is not the same Jesus who walked on the earth with his disciples. In the Passover tale, the tribe of Israelites that arrived at the Promised Land was not the tribe that had left Egypt, right? I mean, 40 years in the desert, most of those who had lived in slavery were not those who made it, you know, to the Promised Land. And I couldn't remember, I forgot about, in Islam, there is the whole exodus of Muhammad and his all of his followers and, you know, what they had to leave and go through and endure. So by the time they came back, they were changed as well. So, you know, you have all these traditions that talk about encountering some severe difficulty. I think I'm understating that some severe difficulty. And then, you know, the promises that there is something on the other side. And yes, it's different. You can never go back, okay? It is going to be different. And we're going to be different on the other side of this pandemic. But I really want to encourage our listeners to pay attention to those little Easter signs that are everywhere, even on the news at night, you know, when you just see people going out of their way to do something for someone. You know, if you're in a place where spring is happening, then, you know, you're kind of surrounded by all of this new life, because that stuff binds us. It anchors us to the ongoing nature of life and of revelation. So in short, friends, hang in there.
So maybe this tension is actually what is authentic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the tension
is
authentic. Always,
it's always there. It's just come to the fore more now.
Yeah. Yeah, the tension. I think the tension is always there. And we just don't have to encounter it so directly. Like you said, we can turn our eyes away.
It's so deeply human. I think that's part of the authenticity of... It's interesting you pointed to these great religions and the stories that are there, these stories of transformation and how they require passing through hardship from one side to the other. And that they're religious stories, they're religious stories because they're human stories. They speak truthfully to what it is to be alive.
It reminds me a member of one of my churches once sent me this thing that talked about how the swords for the samurai were made in the old days, and they would take a hunk of metal and they'd put it in this kiln and basically get it red hot. And then they would take it out of the kiln and they would like bash it over and over and over again with a hammer. And then to cool it at the end, they would stick it in a pile of horse poop. You know, so if you feel burned, hammered, and stuck in a pile of horse poop, you know, it may be because, you know, you're being turned into this great samurai sword. So obviously, I mean, you know, with all these metaphors and all of these sayings, one has to believe that the tension has always been there and that it rises and falls at different times, which brings me again back to that, you know, that Buddhist, that wonderful Buddhist saying that, you know, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Like it, this just is what it is right now. This just is what it is right now. Now, personally, I'm not that good a Buddhist. You know, I am not going to be free from, you know, I'm not going to be free from suffering in this. You know, I am suffering. It's heartbreaking. I mean, I think about people dying alone and I think about the loved ones who are left behind. Like that agony just threatens to shatter my heart into a thousand pieces. So I'll suffer and that's okay because I'm not, I won't suffer forever. Maybe with my own death, but it's eventually going to end. I mean, it's just not going to be suffering forever. I will say, while we're on the topic of tension, and I'm gonna veer off just a little bit because so there's all these ads on TV and all, you know, in the radio and stuff where you hear all these people saying, you know, we're in this together. We're all in this together. And it makes me wonder, like, who we? You know, we are actually not. I mean, on the one hand, yes, we're all in this together. Obviously, the whole planet is in this together. But if you are uber wealthy and were able to flee the inner city and head out to your house in the Alps or your house in Colorado or your house in Vermont or New Hampshire, that's a very different experience than people who have no place to go, who have no place to flee to. If you currently have enough money to still be eating, good on you. Seriously, man, is that a gift. We may all be in this together, but our experiences are very different. And I think it's important. I just think it's important to remember that. It's always important for us to keep our eyes on the least of these, keep our eyes out for those people on the margins who are going to be struggling the hardest. Just a reminder that, you know, while you're staying curious,
going deep,
and shining light, that we do this with the least of these in our hearts and in our minds. So friends, I wish you all well.
Program note, the winter segment of season two ends today. Shannon and I will be taking a two-week
spring break.
Little spring break refresher before we come back for the spring segment of season two on May 6th. I may teaser, post a couple of little five-minute Tuesday refreshers, depending on whether I have 5 minutes of material I want to share. Again, be in touch with us. You can email us, as I say, whatingods@ribeyemedia.com. Or, of course, you don't have to write that down. You can just check us out on our website, whatingods.com.
WHATINGODS.
And of course, on our Facebook page, @WhatInGods. Shannon, great to see you.
It's always great to see you, Chris. Have a good day, friends.